Happy Monday, everybody. Thanks so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. We hope all of our awesome Disney dads had a great Father's Day yesterday. We're going to talk with listener Maddie today about an amazing Disney vacation, but first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal Florida vacation. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by our friends over at touringplans.com. They are the site that's going to give you up-to-the-minute information to plan a great vacation. They have trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. This is your insurance policy against the crowds on your next vacation, whether you're headed to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal. Check them out today. Support our sponsors. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1186 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. And again, you know, hey, let's make it a couple days. Happy Father's Day. One more day long. Let's go on Monday. To all the great Disney dads out in the audience, hope you had a great day yesterday. And thanks so much for all you do for your families and for our community here with the Be Our Guest Podcast community. Today we're back. Of course, we're talking about another trip report. We're actually talking about kind of a lifetime achievement Disney fan here. Somebody that, yep. It's not just one trip, it's a lifestyle here. So joining us from up in Philly, the town where my dad's good friend pitched for the Philadelphia Phillies back in the day and won a Cy Young, we have Maddie. How's it going today, Maddie?
It's good. Thanks so much for having me. Shout out to my dad, I guess. Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Absolutely. And, you know, the biggest the thing that, you know, the parents love for their kids is when they graduate college and get out there in the real world. So congratulations to you. Just recently
Thank
graduated.
You.
Yeah, nice.
Thanks. Oh, no. Don't mention it.
Now go get a job. Now go start earning some money. Yeah, that's kind of what, you know, I'm at that end. Like Paige is still in college at Mizzou. Like, all right, she wants to become a pediatric doctor. I'm like, oh my gosh, Ooh. you're gonna be in school for 12 years. Like, come on,
that's a solid field, though.
It is, but I can't imagine that we'll have the money to pay for 12 years of college. But we'll see. I'm not worried about that. We're not talking about that today. Let's talk about Disney. I'm starting to sweat here, and it's a Monday. I can't sweat. It's the middle of June here. So anyway, let's talk about your story. You contacted me, and you have kind of grown up Disney. Mm-hmm. Not just one trip. You've taken multiple trips. You've gone overseas. So kind of lay the groundwork. Like, what's your story? How's it all start with the connection to Disney for you?
Oh, that's a good question. So my grandparents on my dad's side took them all down to Walt Disney World, I guess, like maybe 2 or 3 months after it first opened, and they stayed at the Contemporary, and it just became like such a family tradition, even to the point where now our generation of the Wexlers are all grown up, and we still are like, please, can we go to Walt Disney World for Christmas? And it's like, we don't have, you know, the excuse of having a 5-year-old in the family anymore, but it's still fun. It's still magical. And it brings out the childhood in everyone, I think. So,
you know, I think it's cool though, when families have those traditions and when you can tie it mm-hmm. into Disney, because the thing I like about Disney is there's so much that's kind of a constant, you know, like the Contemporary is the contemporary really since 71
through
now.
But
there's still changes. I mean, you have New Fantasyland, we have Pandora now. You know, there's always something, there's always multiple new things to do, but you also have that nostalgia. So I think Disney, when you have that family tradition tied in with Walt Disney World or a Disney destination, even Disneyland, you know, you really have something to go back on and say, we do this time and time, but then, you know, new things to explore. I'm sure that's kind of true of your family.
Right. So we had actually not this past trip over Thanksgiving, but the trip prior that we took as a big family, because there are 13 of us, I think, when we're all together. We had stayed at it was right when Bay Lake opened, and we had stayed at the 3-room villa suite, which was, you know, like 2 floors, and we could all be together. And it was really intense because my dad and uncle and my other uncle had been there when they were so little, but to see like Bay Lake open and to be staying in like such a new, like modern part of the resort was like super cool. To see them like geek out as, you know, the adult children that they are.
Well, you know, and that's a great thing about a Disney destination too, is that, you know, when you're an adult and like you said, you've grown up and now, you know, you are an adult now. And, you know, that's kind of
21.
How, you know,
I can finally drink around the world.
I know. That's how Paige is on the verge. She turns 21 in November.
Oh, so exciting.
I know. We just go to the Bahamas and she gets a Mai Tai or something. But we sail with Disney Cruise Line. But, you know, it's one of those things that you get to act like a kid. You get to relive those memories. But I bet it would be more fun, you know, because I can remember like growing up with my cousins and we'd go to Six Flags together here. And, you know, when it's family, you really have that connection of, oh, man, remember that the Magic Kingdom when we were 7? And now you can go back to that same place and kind of relive some of those memories.
Yeah, I love it. And it always is evolving.
So how's it work for your family, though? Let's kind of move into the modern day as far as some of the more recent trips. Like, you know, you said you have large groups that go, you know, not just like your immediate family. Is like something that every time the family's together, you're talking about the next trip, or how do you plan?
Oh, it's so bad. Yes, that's exactly the situation. So this trip over Thanksgiving that we took actually stemmed from, I think, like 5 of us, my aunt, my uncle, me, myself, my cousin Quinn, and my parents. We were going to go down for just like a long weekend, maybe 4 days. And then my sister and her new husband heard, and they were like, wait, we want to come. And then my grandfather, of course, wanted to come. And then my other uncle and his son decided to come. So we kept adding people and more nights to the trip. So it quickly became like an 8-day trip with 13 people. And my sister's friend actually drove up from Miami with her husband. So it's like we have a Disney commune when we go. So we had to do a lot of split stays in order to like accommodate the last minute planning that we did.
So we kind of have a mission. Well, actually, we had a mission 9 years ago, and I think we carried on pretty well here, especially on the Monday shows, to help folks plan better vacations. Now, we get a lot of folks who are thinking about, you know, a grand gathering, as they used to be called years ago, or just taking, like, you know, a family reunion down to Walt Disney World. And it's so hard with so many moving parts, different ages, different generations.
Oh, for sure,
you know, some people love it. Some people just are like, yeah, I can tolerate it. Well, what's your best advice for, you know, before you get there, just like laying the groundwork of where we're staying, what do we want to do, when do we want to go? I mean, that kind of stuff with that many people.
Oh, Nelly, good advice. I mean, it just kind of happens, I think, with our family. We're just kind of Disney obsessed. My uncle's DVC and his home resort is the Boardwalk. And so that's like fundamentally where we usually end up. Definitely plan early because we did not this trip. And so we were kind of just like picking up loose ends. When we found our flights, we realized that there was a flight that we took in, and then there was a gap, and then our hotel started. So we actually picked up a night at the Saratoga Treehouse, which was really nice. I mean, there were only 6 of us then, but I guess it's just mainly with such a big group accommodating like what everyone wants to do and realizing you're not going to get everything done and no one's going to stay at like their favorite resorts, though we did get lucky this past trip. But there were a few nights where my sister's flight from Brooklyn was actually like a day behind. So there was a night we had to spend without her, and it was all just a little stressful to plan, but it happened, I guess. It just turned out.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, too, is, you know, I think the expectation the first time you take a trip like this, because I remember years ago, my mom went and my sister went and, you know, her kids, and it was one of the most stressful trips I ever took, but it's because I wanted to win. You know, my family didn't grow up like it was like a core thing. Like, I was the big Disney fan, but I think a lot of people want to show their family and friends, like, this is why I talk about Disney all the time. This is why it's so special to me. And I wanted us to be together all the time. And I think, you know, with your family, you guys kind of have the experience of, you know what, we're at a treehouse tonight, or we're at the boardwalk tonight. You guys go over to Epcot and, you know, ride Frozen Ever After, go have a margarita in Mexico. I'm just going to chill and, you know, maybe grab some quick bites on the boardwalk tonight. I think, is that where you guys are, where it's not
so
stressful?
That's exactly how it is. Our trips have really become like, I mean, there are a few rides that we always want to do. Pirates of the Caribbean. My favorite is Tower of Terror. Space Mountain, Buzz Lightyear, Toy Story, Midway Mania. Those are the ones we always get done. But it's definitely become like, wake up, walk to the Boardwalk Bakery, get some coffee, you know, hang out at the pool, walk over to Epcot. You know, it's become super slow paced, which makes it, I think, more enjoyable, especially around the holidays, because it's just so nutty then that if you're going in relaxed and knowing that you're only going to get certain things done, it's just much more enjoyable. I know I had mentioned to you, I actually went to Disneyland Hong Kong when I was abroad, and I was by myself, and it was so incredible and such a good experience. But the biggest thing was I just missed my family so much. So I feel like I have a bit of like a new, like admiration for just going at my parents' pace, and there's always gonna, or my grandfather's pace, there's always gonna want to be a part of me to like run and do a single rider line for Rock and Roller Coaster. But it's so much more fun when everyone can just be together, like enjoying the atmosphere.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you on that. You know, just on the solo aspect of touring a Disney park, I'm right with you, because I've been very, very blessed and very lucky because of the podcast to be able to go to media events and other things where, you know, it's not like you can bring your whole family. They're like, you get to come, you get to, you know, be here for a weekend and see some cool stuff, and you get really great access. And it's awesome because you can go and do whatever you want. And it is great. If you ever want to do a solo trip, they're fun, but you're exactly right. Like I can't say it's better than having my family there, because I love the memories we make and just the camaraderie of, you know, ribbing each other, you know, and just sharing an ice cream, because, you know, I'm down there and I got a lot of friends that are in the area, but it's nothing's like having that family there, especially you grew up with that. You're used to that. I'm the same way. It's a little shocking when you don't have that, you know, that family right there with you. I totally get what you're saying.
I think that's how this trip evolved, because I think my sister was mainly fed up with just not having time in her schedule to go down with us. So when we were like, over Thanksgiving, you know, just five of us are going to go for just a long weekend, it really became like, please don't go without me. And then it evolved into, you know, 13 of us and her friend driving up from Miami and just, you know, everyone being together. And it was like a really nice, there was a lot of quality time, a lot of relaxing and, you know, getting appetizers. And the one night we drank around Epcot, and I think we started at 4 o'clock and we finished, it was extra magic hours. So we finished around 10:30, and my 85-year-old grandfather kept up with us the whole time. You know, no one was falling over or drunk, but it was a really nice night. And it was just about spending time together and, of course, spending time at the World Showcase, because who doesn't love getting a drink in Epcot?
You know what? Your grandfather's more of a man than I am, because, you know, I'm in my early 40s and I can't hang some days just having Cokes. You know,
we were all very impressed. Yeah, he did great. Well, I mean, he wasn't drinking at, you know, La Cava del Tequila. He wasn't, you know, doing tequila. We weren't doing shots, but, you know, testers. He wasn't doing those with us, but he could hang.
Oh, that's amazing. All right. So let me, because we don't have a lot of folks that go overseas here on the show, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but what were your thoughts on that? Because that's a uniquely, you know, it's a Disney experience, but it's definitely leaning towards different cultural icons and feelings. So what did it feel like to be overseas in a Disney park?
Well, at the point when I was going to Disney Hong Kong, it was towards the end of my trip. I had been in Hong Kong for about a month, and I had actually just gotten back from like a long excursion to China, and I was feeling very like I was at the end of being alone. I was sick of quality time with myself. So when I went to Disney, all that like nostalgia just came back, and most of me felt like I was home, and it felt so great. And you know, it was special. But then, you know, after the excitement of walking around to Disneyland once, because I've never been to Disneyland, California, but I've never realized how small the lands are compared to Disney World. I think maybe I'm spoiled because I grew up only going to Disney World, but Disney World is so big in comparison to Disneyland Hong Kong. But it really shocked me because I did single rider line for the Space Mountain. And when I got to the loading dock, I realized there was no one even in line for like the regular waiting time. And the cast members were laughing at me like, oh, you went through the single rider line. And I went on Space Mountain. It was basically the same track. And I got back to the loading dock and there was no one in line still. And they're like, you want to go again? And I was like, of course. So I just kind of like rode it on a loop and I like kind of made friends. They would like stop and, you know, talk to me and ask me about my life in the US. And it was just an incredible experience. But I think I was just at my wit's end of being alone. I was really missing my family.
And I could see where being in a Disney park where you already have kind of that background, you know, of like, oh, you know, this, I see this attraction that triggers this memory with my sister or, you know, that, and especially if you're a little homesick, that's just gonna maybe put you over the top.
Yeah, my cousin Quinn is also 21. We're 3 months apart and we grew up basically like the twins of the family, even though we're only cousins. And I don't think I've ever been to Disney without her. So it was like a traumatic experience being abroad without Quinn. It was like my partner in crime was missing.
Was there anything over at in Hong Kong that you wish we had at the United States, like that you saw and it's like, oh man, they're doing that a little bit better than we do that down in Florida? Or was there anything, you know, that you were just like, you know, blew you away or surprised you?
So the one thing that I loved about Hong Kong Disneyland was the Toy Story World, which is ironic because it's now coming to us. But it's just like you walk through, you know, under the gates. I'm trying hard to remember because I think it was 4 years ago now or 3 years ago now. But you just walk through and, you know, you're like a little toy in Toy Story. And those are some of my favorite movies. So it was really special. So now it's nice because we have Toy Story Midway Mania, which is like a sliver of that. And now it's coming. I think the layout for it's in Hollywood Studios, right? Hollywood Studios is new Toy Story Land. I think the layout's a little similar to what it is in Hong Kong Disneyland. So I'm so excited at the idea of like being able to experience that again. But yeah, I'm definitely excited that that's coming to us.
I'm excited for that too. And the thing is, like, we just got some, you know, like land art about 3 or 4 weeks ago that was released by Disney. And, you know, the thing I feel bad about, because Toy Story is probably one of my top five all-time movies. Buzz is my favorite Disney character. I'm a space nut. And of course, it kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. But I'm worried, though, and I'm not worried about it because they're making progress. I've been watching it online. But the thing is, it's going to be overshadowed by Star Wars, I think. You know, I think it's going to be like the stepchild to Star Wars, you know, and I hope that it gets it to do when the time comes, because I think it's going to be amazing. But I mean, it really is kind of hard to battle with Star Wars, you know what I'm saying? Bringing them both on at the same time or, you know, approximately the same
time. I'm so excited. I mean, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. That was one of my biggest criticisms for this past trip over Thanksgiving was we went to Hollywood Studios one night to see the fireworks and it was Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. And my heart just broke because I had seen like a bit of Star Wars a previous trip, but I missed it. And so my one like big request to my parents and my aunt and uncle was that we did the Star Wars fireworks dessert party and they weren't offering it. And I was so sad.
It's, you know what, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam is a lot of fun. But yeah, Star Wars, if I had to pick, I'd take Star Wars. Yeah, I'd take Star Wars for sure.
Yep.
It's pretty neat. All right, so you know what, let's talk about that November trip this year a little bit, because amazingly enough, here in the middle of June, it is the time. Right now, if you want to go down for the holidays, and it's a great time to go, I've been there the last few years, you get to see the parks in a totally different way. They're, you know, the music's different. The things you can eat are different. The smells are actually different in a lot of places. And just it's very cheerful this time of year. So you guys stayed at the Boardwalk for this trip, right, in November? Is that right?
Yeah. So we actually did a three-way split stay. The first night, it was just six of us. My aunt and uncle, my cousin Quinn and I, who flew in from Philadelphia, my parents who actually live in Colorado flew in for the night before. We ate at the Boathouse. We hung out around downtown Disney Springs. whoops. And we stayed at the Saratoga Treehouse, which was so fun. And I wish we only stayed there because I don't think there were many other available rooms open for that week. But the treehouses are really cool.
Oh, they're absolutely cool. But here's the thing about treehouses. They're probably the coolest accommodation at Walt Disney World, in my opinion, mm-hmm. as far as just the place to stay. Now, here's the problem, though. they're not good if you want to go to the parks. Like if you're willing
to
go.
Oh my gosh, I know.
It's like it's a place to hang out. It's like renting a house. It's almost like a little vacation house on the Sasagula River or in the, you know, Disney Springs area. They're amazing, but you don't want to be taking a bus to Magic Kingdom. I mean, that you may as well catch one to like Gainesville or something. It's crazy.
Yeah. That's exactly how we felt because we stayed at the treehouse and then in the morning we had a cast member come and pick up our luggage to take it over to the boardwalk. And we, you know, it was like trains, planes, and automobiles getting over to the boardwalk. I think we took a boat back to the lobby of Saratoga, and then we took a bus to Hollywood Studios, and then we love that walk from Hollywood Studios to the boardwalk. So then we walked to the boardwalk to meet up with my sister and my grandfather and my other uncle who were coming from on the Magical Express from the airport. And then, yeah, we had four nights at the boardwalk. We had three one villa rooms, but they had the lock off. So it was like basically a two villa, I think. It was like a lock off into a studio. And then after those four nights, we moved over to the Grand Floridian. We had one two villa room, which was really special because that wasn't even supposed to happen. And it was a mishap. We were planning our flights home and my cousin saw that there was like one two-room villa open at the Grand Floridian the night of Thanksgiving. And we were like, that can't be right. And she called Disney and the lady, the planner lady laughed at her and was like, that's not right. And she like, you know, typed it up and was like, okay, well, do you want me to book it for you? Because it's available. So someone must have dropped that reservation and we scooped it up really fast.
Good timing. Working in travel, it just sometimes miracles happen.
Yeah, it was definitely a miracle. So that was special, spending Thanksgiving at the Grand Floridian. I don't even think we went to any of the parks that day.
Well, let's talk about that while we're here, because I want to go back and get your thoughts on Boardwalk real quick, because I've really fallen in love with Boardwalk, to be honest. I know that, you know, I was not as high on it until I really, really got to experience it over Marathon. But, you know, being there on Thanksgiving itself, especially a place like the Grand Floridian, what'd you do? I mean, what's that like experiencing an actual holiday at Walt Disney World?
So at the night at the Grand Floridian?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we had my mom and my tante, she's my aunt, my tante. They really wanted to make Thanksgiving special, especially because we're all coming from so far away. My parents are in Colorado. My sister's in New York. So they had my sister's best friend, Allie, and her husband, Reed, they had them drive up a turkey. So they had one big turkey in a huge cooler, and they dropped that off. They were staying at Port Orleans. And then somehow my mom and my aunt found a way for the Grand Floridian to actually, like, deliver all the Thanksgiving sides for us. So I think it was around, like, 1 or 2 p.m. in the day. We had just all kind of hung out at the resort, walked around. We went to... I don't know, the Christmas decorations at the Grand Floridian are just stunning. So we spent the morning kind of relaxing around the water and going to that gingerbread house and just looking at the Christmas trees. And then around 2 p.m., I think a cast member from the Grand Floridian came and, you know, pushed a bunch of tables together in the villa, set a tablecloth up and set this beautiful spread out of mashed potatoes and green beans and you know, all the fixings for like a homemade Thanksgiving dinner. And then my mom and my aunt had, you know, made the turkey per usual. I think my mom had made cranberries. And it was just like a complete real Wexler Thanksgiving at the Grand Floridian. So it was like a little bit of home in Florida, which was so much fun.
That is so amazing. Like, I've never heard of that happening. Like, I have the biggest smile right now because I'm a huge fan of Thanksgiving. I love, because the thing is about Thanksgiving, of course, I love the food. I'm a huge turkey stuffing, all that good stuff. You know, give me the cranberries. You know, some people don't like them. I love them. But I think more than that, I love like that one or two times a year where everybody makes an effort to sit around the table mm-hmm. and you get to be with your family and to be able to have that at the Grand Floridian. I mean, talk about something that, I mean, you'll never forget that, you know, that Thanksgiving that we were all there. I can't believe you got a turkey. I mean, like, that corrects me.
That was pretty special.
Yeah, there's a touring
plan. I misspoke earlier when I said I didn't think we went to the parks that day. We actually, after our coma, our Thanksgiving turkey coma, we went to the Animal Kingdom and we did that late night safari, which was, we thought, a dud until we turned the corner to see the lions, and they were all like awake and active and jumping around, which was so cool. But I think one of the most special things was then when we came home from the Animal Kingdom. Well, actually, we went to Hollywood Studios and did Tower of Terror, but that's a different story. Anyway, when we came home from the parks, finally, we ate Thanksgiving leftovers like usual, like if we were home anywhere else. And then we didn't have enough leftovers for everyone, so some people were feeling left out. So we heated up some pizzas, and, you know, we popped a bottle of champagne, and we watched Wishes from our balcony, and it was just like the most perfect Thanksgiving night. We were all leaving in the morning, so it was a great way to end the trip.
Oh my gosh, you guys should have contacted Disney marketing and just had them set up some cameras in your villa.
I know,
I mean,
because
that's it, you know, it's like the place where happiness lives. This is it, you know. I can't imagine that you could ever top that, you know. I'm sure maybe you'll try to repeat that at some point, hopefully, but man, that's an amazing, amazing memory.
We thought it would be impossible to top the 3-room villa at Bay Lake. That was my grandmother's, actually her last at that trip. She was pretty sick, and you know, her mobility wasn't as great as it used to be. So we could just pop her in front of the big theme park view. It was like a big 2-story window, and we were able to pipe in the Wishes music. And I think that with that trip, which was 2 summers ago, the most important thing was every night we would be back from the parks, no matter what everyone else was doing, to watch Wishes with her. And we did the same thing that trip. We had like a big catered dinner, and we moved all the furniture and pushed the table in front of the window, and we all just like spent time together. So I think we thought we could never top that. And in a way we never can, because it was our last Disney trip with my Nana. But yeah, they definitely, especially at the Grand Floridian, it's a hard Thanksgiving at the Grand Floridian is very hard to top. I'm not sure what we're going to pull out next.
Yeah, I keep thinking of that touring plans post that they pull out every Thanksgiving where some staff people that write for them dressed up like pilgrims, and they snuck in like the whole thing into the Magic Kingdom and sat up on top of the train station. They had like the candelabra.
No, I've never seen that.
Oh yeah, they pull it out every year around Thanksgiving. I'll have Ricky have to get a link for us. They're dressed like pilgrims, and they have the candelabra, the white tablecloth. They have all
goodness.
The fixings, like they had like 10 people sneak in every kind of possible thing for Thanksgiving, and they ate it right there on the train station. So
that's impressive.
Yeah, you guys did it right, and you didn't have to sneak anything in. Yeah. That's all, you know, but I love that it's all about family. That idea of coming back and spending time with your grandma, watching Wishes with her, no matter, you know, that was like how everybody in the family ended the night. I mean, that just warms my heart, because that's what family is. I mean, that's exactly it. That's such a neat memory.
Yeah, it was really special. I'm glad that we all have that memory with her. And I mean, we definitely have a lot of like weird family traditions like that. I don't think I've ever been to Disney and not ate at the Rose and Crown pub. My pop-up was a butcher for all of his life, so we always go to the Yachtsman and always order the porterhouse, and someone splits it with him. And I mean, we just have a lot of like special traditions like that, that I, no matter how older we get or how much a trip changes, like my sister's new husband, who is not the biggest Disney fan, but we made him come along. I think it's important that we always do like the little traditions that we have.
So how are you initiating him? I mean, I'm sure he's like, wow, I got to catch up on all this this tradition here. And it's pretty overwhelming for a newcomer, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know. Well, he had only ever been to Disneyland once. He's from Seattle. And we kind of gave him grief before the trip, because we knew he was going to be overwhelmed. You know, Sean likes, I'm not sure what he drinks, but he's from Brooklyn, and he likes to like sit on his back patio with like, I don't know what he drinks, bourbon or whiskey or something. And he's like a very relaxed human being. So we always get so excited around Disney. And, you know, for us, we do relaxed trips, but for him, it was still like we were all over the place. So my mom got them Newlywed shirts, and I think he wore them one night as pajamas. And, you know, that was enough for us. We were like, okay, he gets it.
That counts. That's good enough.
Yeah, that counts. I think he asked not another Disney holiday for a little bit. So we're going to have to accommodate that, I guess, because we dragged him along a month after his wedding. So.
Well, you got it. You know, you buy into the whole family. You know, that's what they say.
Yeah, but he was great. He was a trooper, even though he was like, can I please go back and nap? You know, My sister would be like, no, you can't. You have to stay.
I got to watch the Yankees. No, they're not playing in the wintertime. But yeah.
He actually did have to go. That's funny you said. He had to go to ESPN Club one day to watch Eagles versus Seahawks.
Oh, yeah.
Which was funny because we're from Philadelphia and he's from Seattle. And none of us are devout Eagles fans, I don't think. But, you know, I think we'd have to sit at another table if we were cheering for the Eagles. But I don't think I as many times as I've stayed at the Boardwalk, I don't think I stepped in that ESPN Club once until I had to go pick him up for dinner. To be like, boy, is the game over yet? You know,
that place is fun. You got to get in there.
It is fun. It's just blast. It didn't strike me as like a Disney World destination, but yeah. I guess it is.
It is. All right. So let's talk about the Boardwalk here for just a few minutes. So you're over there. Great. What are some of the strengths of the Boardwalk in your opinion? And maybe something that folks might not consider when staying there because, you know, you have the experience.
Well, definitely, I don't necessarily know if I want to give this tip away, but I suppose I will because I
nobody's
love
listening.
To be our guest podcast. Yeah, but
listening.
Definitely the Bellevue. I think every night we stayed at the Boardwalk, we all were coming from different paths, meeting up at the Bellevue. I think it's the lounge. It's off the lobby, and it's this little bar. We actually went down to Abracadabar one night, and I don't know if it was my dad or my uncle, but I don't think they liked the beer selection much. So my uncle was like, oh, I know this nook, the Bellevue Lounge. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, right there off the lobby. Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. Oh, perfect. Yeah. And it's never like too crowded, and you know, it's very sophisticated jazz music playing. And that was fun because it was like a nice way to relax at the end of the night. The other things I love about the Boardwalk, I guess it's all going to center around food. That's embarrassing. But Boardwalk Bakery, every morning we would wake up and, you know, get a coffee and get some pastries. And my dad's such an early riser. So he would wake up and run down. And by the time, you know, I'm awake and getting dressed, he's like got coffee and a bagel and danishes. And what else? One morning we woke up and we went to Trattoria Al Forno, I think Rapunzel's there now, but that was before the princesses were there. But we had a big breakfast there. I think it's just the accessibility, especially to Hollywood Studios and Epcot. It's kind of like, okay, roll out of bed, grab some Boardwalk Bakery, walk over to Epcot. It's nice.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, upon staying there, you know, now for a couple times, I think what I've learned about Boardwalk is that it's not really for the first time Disney visitor. I think the first time Disney visitor needs like a place with a food court, you know, like a moderate or like a value, you know, and I think that, like you said, the Boardwalk lends itself more to getting up, taking a leisurely stroll, grabbing some coffee and a muffin or a Danish down at the Boardwalk Bakery, and then kind of decide, no, let's just walk over to Epcot and see what's going on, or go to the studios. Yeah, it's one of those things. I think you kind of have to graduate into it, but once you're there, man, it's hard not to go back to the Boardwalk. That is, it's
right.
Definitely quickly getting to the top of my list.
I think that's funny you say that now, because I know the first time I submitted a listener question, one of the first podcasts I had listened to last summer was your review of the Boardwalk. And I think I gave you a hard time because I was like, listen, bud, the Boardwalk is my favorite resort. I'm not sure what you're saying, but now I'm glad to see that you've become a believer.
I love it. But
I would totally agree that Boardwalk is definitely for the more relaxed Disney goer, you know, people, families that have been there multiple times. It's not their first trip. Also, I mean, I don't have any young kids, and I'm one of the youngest in the family, so I can't say that I have much experience with young kids at Disney. But we like it because most of the park time that we spend is Epcot and Hollywood Studios. And until we went to Grand Floridian, we really didn't spend much time in the Magic Kingdom. So I think it's just, you know, like, I'm not sure how, like, walking over to Epcot with, like, a little kid, or how much time little kids even spend in Epcot, you know, or Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, it just depends. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it does kind of matter your family dynamic as to where you're staying and, you know, because it is, Boardwalk's sophisticated, you know, it's you know, it's another one of those places. It's like, to me, it's almost like Riverside, where when you step outside the Boardwalk and you're actually on the Boardwalk itself, it's like walking through a postcard, especially in the morning, like at sunrise. It's a great place to run to. I love running around there each morning because it's just like, wow, this place is stunning. You know, even with the swan and the dolphin in the background and beach and yacht, it's amazing. The boats making their sounds, kind of going around Crescent Lake. It's definitely a destination. So we only have a few minutes left. I want to hit some of your, you mentioned Trattoria Al Forno is one of your places. Mm-hmm. Rosencrown's a tradition. Anywhere else that you really enjoyed dining or you had a great experience, even back in November, does any of your trips?
Yeah, I think One of the Wexler favorites is Spice Road in Morocco. And actually, now that we were talking about the boardwalk, I've realized how quickly our trips center around eating at the boardwalk or close to the boardwalk or in Epcot, because some of the places we ate were Yachtsman, which is over at Yacht Club, Spice Road in Epcot. We ate at Cape May Cafe, Trattoria Al Forno. But back to Spice Road. The reason we went there once, and it was totally coincidental, but we were there when Illuminations was going on, and we were back in this little booth, like back to the left, where there's like a little nook and this big window. And we all just, you know, as Illuminations started, we all just stopped eating and kind of like cozied together with our heads out the window and watched Illuminations, which is, most of our favorite, firework show. I mean, I know for myself, it's definitely my favorite at Disney, my favorite fireworks show. But we went back this trip with everyone, and perchance we got the same table. It's like become, you know, this lucky tradition that we always eat at the same little booth. And we just were able to, we did the same thing. We made reservations for 8, and Illumination started at 9. So by the time we got our dessert and just were having like dessert drinks, Illumination started. And it was really special because my dad took a picture of us all, like, you know, cozied up in this little booth nook watching Illuminations. And also the food there is so good. So I think that one has become super high on our list of somewhere we'll go back.
See, I love hearing that because I honestly, you know, we've done, over 1,200 shows if you count all the live shows and all the specials and things. But Spice Road table just doesn't come up. And that really proves the point of Walt Disney World has something
that everybody
enjoys. I'm
giving away all my secrets now.
I know. Bellevue Lounge and Spice Road table. You're hitting stuff that, we actually will have a Wikipedia. You know, the BR Guest Wiki will have some information now. Andrew will have to get on it. I love it.
That's really funny. Yeah.
That's good stuff. All right. So as we wrap this up, you guys were down there for the holidays. Did you do anything specifically that you could only do during the holidays that you enjoyed during this trip?
Oh, no. I'm not sure if we did. We've spent Christmas down at the boardwalk before. And that trip, we brought a tree and we did presents. I'm trying to rack my brain. I'm not sure if we did anything like specific to, I mean, other than the Thanksgiving spread we have. I don't think we did anything specific to Christmas. Other than just, I mean, I know we'll always take a few hours out of the day to do like, you know, a Christmas tree tour kind of on our own, where we just walk around those resorts and look at all the Christmas decorations. It was one of my Nana's favorite thing to do. So we kind of try to like, you know, do the same thing. I think it's, I mean, one of my favorite times to be down there is over the holidays, just because, you know, not everyone starts listening. People will yell at you if you're listening to Christmas music before Thanksgiving. But if you go to Disney, it's like so totally socially acceptable to listen to Christmas music right away, which always, you know, is fun for me.
Yeah, it's true. They give you permission to start listening to Halloween music in August. So, yeah, you're good to go. Like, you know,
mid-September. Oh, my gosh. What's with that? I know I heard about that.
It's crazy. I know. I think they're putting up the decorations next week. I don't know. It's nuts. All right. So as we get out of here, though, I know you got another trip on the horizon. You got to be planning something, scheming a way to get back. So what are the plans?
Well, I know that much to my uncle's dismay, I've been like hijacking his DVC account. My cousin and I, since I just graduated college, I'm like, oh, but don't I deserve something nice? Which is not, I mean, no, I don't get a trip for, I don't get a trip to Disney World for graduation. But we've definitely been like looking at the summer rates just to see if we can, you know, sneak a trip in. I don't know if it's going to happen. And I know that my sister's husband has already requested that this Thanksgiving we go to Costa Rica. So I'm not sure. I'm hoping that, you know, before Christmas we get a trip down. And most likely, I mean, I would guarantee we're going to be staying at the boardwalk again because we're a little bit addicted to it. So.
All right. Well, I hope to catch you at the boardwalk sometime while you're down there. It'd be a lot of fun. And hey, if I'm down there on Thanksgiving for some reason, I am looking you up because that's
more than invited to our spread, of course,
where to go.
Anytime.
Yeah, because hey, we always recommend Trails In. Shoot, forget Trails In. I'm going with the Wexlers for Thanksgiving. That's how it is. Well, Maddie, thanks so much. It was a great way to start a Monday. I love hearing your story. I love your family. And, you know, I just love that it is about family and Disney and everything's all tied together. So thanks a lot. You really cheered us
thanks
up
so
today.
Thanks so much for having
Appreciate
me.
It.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do it again. So when you hijack that account, shoot me an email. We'll talk about that secret
okay.
trip.
All we'll
right.
do.
Good deal. All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our great friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Check them out. Great book. You want to get inspired. This is a great book for the summer. You know, grab a shade tree, grab the book, grab some lemonade, and learn some lessons from the Magic Kingdom, actually from Disneyland, that Walt left. And of course, they are in the Magic Kingdom as well. I almost kind of gave away a secret there. But it's just amazing that Walt Disney, he was passionate. He was also very creative, but he made those around him better. And there's lots of lessons like that in The Wisdom of Walt. So check it out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com and stay out of crowds and see the most amount of attractions possible on your next Disney vacation, even Universal. And, you know, it's insurance against the crowds. Check them out today over at touringplans.com. Do support the show over on Amazon. When you do your online shopping, we ask that you please, it costs exactly the same. Use our affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Anytime you're doing some online shopping, it helps the show, and we appreciate it so very much. Give the show a follow on Instagram and Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. And we've got an awesome Facebook group, over 5,700 Disney fans talking Disney every day. Facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, time to cut you loose. We'll be back again on Wednesday answering your listener questions. And as always, we appreciate it each and every time you download or stream the show. So thank you so much for checking in. So for Maddie, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.